Welcome to service this morning. Whether you get to be with us today, or you're watching live, or you're watching on catch up, welcome to all of you. We have a very short list of announcements this morning, beginning with this Monday. Tomorrow, David Bale will be beginning, or I guess restarting, his Matthew Bible study at the Church Center. I think it's at 7:30 is the Bible study tomorrow with David Bale. I'm trying to catch his eye. Yes? Okay, good. The one that Josh and I team teach will be on Luke. We are postponing it until next Wednesday, the 23rd. Some complications came up this week, so we'll have to put it off for next week. But do come along next week as we begin our study of Luke. Good Morning Group continues to meet on Tuesday mornings. This week, they will be considering Epiphany and hearing the story of another wise man. Tuesday at 10:15 in the Church Center for all who would like to attend. The Rhodas for 2019 Tea and Flowers are available to pick up today. You can get them in the back after the service. As always, if you're interested in supporting the work of Chemne, it's simple to donate online at the website listed. That's it for intimations this morning, but if we could all please turn our hearts and our minds to worship as we sing, "You Rescued Me."
You rescued me and picked me up, and gave me
us now bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, for this morning, we thank you. We thank you that we have voices to sing, hearts to love, and bodies to worship you. As we gather to praise you today, we hope for and wait expectantly for the coming of your kingdom, when we can shake off the shackles of age and ill health, when we can unabashedly worship you, and when dancing will erupt in the street. We thank you for the ways we have seen you moving and working in our lives this week. May we become more aware of your presence in all that we do. May you also grow within us a heart to do your will. With the offering we have taken today, may we honor you and those you love, supporting those who need our help. May we be responsible with the financial resources you have gifted us. Now with joyful hearts, we turn to you, ready to engage in your word and ready to grow in our knowledge of you. Bless this morning and bless your people as we earnestly seek you. Amen. In every prayer, we can be assured that God hears us. So with that, let us turn to sing, "I Love the Lord Because He Heard." Children to come up with me now. Hi, Rona. I like your dress. It's really pretty. You've been schooling off for about a week and a half, right? Has it been going okay? Mm-hmm. Wish you were still on break?
Yeah.
I always wanted that too. How was your vacation for Christmas? Was it wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you guys get to do anything fun when you were on break? What'd you do?
Well, our cousins came over to our house.
Oh, really?
And we played with all our Christmas toys.
Really? Oh, excellent. And did you guys get really cool things for Christmas? Yeah. Do you guys want to share a few different things?
I got a tablet.
Ooh, a tablet? That's really cool. Wait.
A Rubik's Cube?
No, can you do it? Can you get it to all the colors?
Kind of. I'm not tried yet.
You haven't really tried yet? That's really impressive. I can't do that. That's a cool gift. Now, did you get anything you'd like to share?
I got a basketball.
Basketball? So do you play basketball now?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. In addition to football, right? Do you play football too? Yeah, that's a good sport. Do you like basketball or football better? Do you know?
Basketball.
You like basketball better? Now, I have a question for you guys. When you were unwrapping your gifts, did you maybe get to one gift that was so wrapped up in plastic packaging that it was too hard to open?
No?
Well, okay. Has that ever happened, that you get a toy that's just wrapped in plastic? Like the packaging?
No.
No? Okay, maybe this is an American thing, but when you get new toys, they're always wrapped in plastic and they're really difficult to open. So much so that when I hand it to my dad to help me open it, he can't even get it open. You know, we've got scissors, we've got knives, basically this whole set of surgical tools to try to get these toys out, and they're really hard. So I'm glad that you guys don't have to go through that much work to get your gifts out. But I bet you've had to ask for help for other things. Do you guys have to ask for help sometimes? Yeah? Do you guys know what you have to ask help for? Yeah? What?
I kind of know what I have to ask for help.
Yep. Do you have an example?
Not really.
Okay. Did you guys have to ask your parents for help when you had to learn how to tie your shoes?
Yeah.
That was kind of hard when you were learning, right? Yeah. What about, do you have to ask for help when you have to get something from a really tall cupboard?
Sometimes, otherwise I just climb and stuff.
You just climb and stuff? That's that's very resourceful. It's the same as you. So all of you guys climb to get stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I did that too, yes. But sometimes there's things that we really can't do by ourselves, right? And we have to ask either our parents or our teachers or other people for help, right? Yeah, and have you guys heard the story of Jonah? Jonah and the whale?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can you guys tell me what happens? Do you guys remember?
Yeah, she didn't do what God told her to do.
Yeah, because his town didn't like that place.
So Jonah's town didn't like where God told Jonah to go, right? And so Jonah runs away.
He travels on a boat on the Mandarin Ocean.
Yep.
And he got eaten by a fish.
Exactly. The men throw him overboard from the boat, and he gets eaten by a fish. Now, do you think Jonah needed help when he was in the belly of the big fish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, God sent the big fish. And probably Jonah's in the belly and he's thinking, what have I done? I really need God's help right now. And so he turns to God and he starts praying and he starts saying, God, I've really made a really big mistake and I can't get out of this mess by myself. I'm in this big fish and I don't know what to do. And so he prays and he asks for help. And I think that is really important when not only we think about our relationship with our parents asking for help, but our relationship with God too, right? To ask for help with things we can't do by ourselves. So should we pray and ask God for help in the things that we can't do by ourselves? Yes. Can you guys repeat after me what I say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All of us, can we repeat after what I say? Excellent. Dear Lord. Thank you for helping us when we cannot help ourselves. Help us not to be scared, especially when we want to do it all on our own. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right. Thank you very much for praying with me and listening to me. Now you get to go with Rona's mom after this next song, all right? And you're going right over there in that room. Thank you for sitting with me. We'll see you after service, okay? Okay. This is one of the great mysteries of our faith, one of the greatest gifts, that even though we do not deserve help in any kind of way, God gives us and grants us grace. And so now we get to stand and sing one of the age-old hymns of the Christian faith, Amazing Grace.
From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word.
When Jonah had run as far away as he possibly could have, God didn't let him go. He chased after Jonah. And God doesn't let us go, even when we go astray. So let us stand and sing, O love that would not let me go. Before we begin, let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, as we come before you, let us have hearts to know you, hearts to understand what we're about to take a closer look at. May you bless us with deeper knowledge of you. Amen. Jonah, commanded by God to go to Nineveh and to preach against it. But instead of obeying, he is consumed by fear, selfishness, and a vain attempt at self-sufficiency. Jonah decides to board a boat bound for the furthest reaches of the world, all because he can't find it within himself to answer God's call. But as all attempts to run away from God go, Jonah is found. While sailing, the sea is hit with a massive storm, so bad, in fact, that the seasoned crew workers are scared they might die. What about Jonah, who is not used to sea travel? What must he be thinking? I'm running away from life. My disobedience has caused calamity. I'm putting other people in danger. I am rootless and wandering, and I don't know who I am anymore. I might as well be thrown overboard. So as Jonah hurtles through the air, crashes below the surface of frigid, dark, consuming waters, he feels a rush as a great big mouth opens around him, propelling him into a cavern full of rotting fish. Where am I? He must be asking. This must be some kind of hell, some kind of punishment for my actions. As he soon finds out, he's in the belly of a whale. The way the narrator has described this story so far, he hints at Jonah's downward spiral. As Peter Craigie, a New Testament scholar, says, the text depicts Jonah descending, down to Joppa, down into a ship, down into the depths of the ship, and now, finally, down to the very depths of the ocean. In essence, Jonah has hit rock bottom. He can't fall any farther. And it's from this position, rock bottom, that Jonah grasps grace. You see, we can't grasp or understand grace until we come face to face with our own sinfulness, our own inability to lift ourselves from the miry pit. Peter Craigie says, it was not until Jonah was all the way down, finally stripped of his own buoyant self-sufficiency, that deliverance was truly possible. Maybe we've come across this rock bottom phenomenon before. Maybe we know people in our lives who have struggled with some kind of addiction to alcohol, to drugs, to some other kind of magnetic pull that pulls us to a detrimental lifestyle. To everyone else, the addiction is a problem. To the addicted, it's not so much of a problem. So interventions fall flat, treatment fails, because those with addictions don't want to be cured of what they don't want to give up. And so addiction continues. But then comes a defining moment, rock bottom. Most recovering addicts speak of rock bottom as the time when things had gotten so screwed up, they realized that they had a problem with addiction. Rock bottom was the moment they decided to get help. And it was the moment that they finally chose to get help, and their lives started to change for the better. But it took rock bottom, it took coming to the end of themselves to realize they had to change. From rock bottom, you can reach out and get help. And Jonah does the exact same thing. Jonah, in his own way, had completely and utterly failed. And it was from this utter destitution that we hear his gasping, desperate cries. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. The Lord God, maker of all things, heard me, Jonah says. When I was at death's door, ready to lay in the grave, you heard me, God. I, who am but a sinner, with no reason to save me, you heard me. And he goes on, you hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, I have been banished from your sight. But yet, I will look towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters, they will threaten me. The deep, it surrounds me, and seaweed wraps around my head. To the very roots of the mountain, I sank down, down until the earth below barred me in forever. Jonah is saying, I had reached my limit, and I saw no hope. There seemed to be no way out. I had nothing. And Jonah realizes, possibly for the very first time, what rock bottom was, what his pattern of running away from God had done to him. And so Jonah comes face to face with his own destitution. I don't know if any of you have been watching the recent BBC TV series on Les Mis, but this is one of my favorite storylines. It's a French novel full of injustice, redemption, and grace. And in it, there's a character named Jean Valjean, a convict who was put in prison for 19 years for stealing a loaf of bread. And over his 19-year sentence, he's built up a steely armor of bitterness and rage. And so as he stalks out into the free world for the first time in years, he thinks the world owes him something. So when a local priest takes in Valjean into his home, feeding him, clothing him, caring for him, Valjean turns around and steals the silverware. And just like Jonah, Valjean is caught on the run, brought back before the priest, expecting to be thrown right back into jail. But the priest hands him the silver candlesticks as well. You forgot these, he said. Now go with God. Floored by the priest's radical forgiveness, Valjean stumbles out of the house, out onto the road, at war with himself. What did the priest see in me? He said I had a soul, that I could be an honest man, me. And as he struggles with himself, Valjean sees a young boy flicking a coin in the air. And as the coin glints in the sunlight, Valjean greedily catches it, taking it for himself. He growls at the boy, running him off. But as Valjean stares at the coin, contemplating his life, tears prick to his eyes, and he collapses, overcome by emotion and overcome by his own fallenness. I've stolen from a priest and from a child. Valjean's rock bottom. Candlesticks and a coin. Undeserved symbols of grace to a man who had fallen so far. Both Valjean and Jonah had fallen as far down as they possibly could. And it was from this position they came to know God. They had nothing, no powers of their own to bring themselves up, and they realized an age-old saying, you don't realize Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have. So in a broken voice, we hear Jonah's urgent plea. I sank to the depths of the sea, to the roots of the mountains trapped beneath the earth. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Lord my God. Jonah had spent such a long time denying the Lord, running away from him. But here we see him realize a fundamental truth. When we hit rock bottom, when we have nothing else, God's grace is our greatest hope. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Jonah reaffirms his faith in a God whose grace he has just now come to know. Jonah claims the Lord as his God. Lord, my God. I think our normal reaction is to say Jonah's deliverance happens when the whale spits him onto dry ground. But I think deliverance happens earlier. Deliverance, Jonah's deliverance, is realizing the depth of God's grace. Realizing that the identity of God is always rooted in his desire to save his wayward people. Deliverance is understanding God's grace in the midst of our brokenness. Jonah has understood grace. And Jonah's downward spiral reverses. The Lord brings him up from the pit. Jonah's prayers rise up to God, to his holy temple on high. As Jonah experiences those sweet tastes of grace, he exclaims, "I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you." He says, "I will enter into covenant with you. With a song of adoration and praise, I will thank you for lifting me from this pit." Jonah responds to his deliverance in faithfulness. He worships God for a gift of grace. And then Jonah comes to a triumphant proclamation. Salvation comes from the Lord. Jonah intimately knows what it's like to be saved by God. When he was looking for safety in far-reaching countries, a grace-filled God saved Jonah from his self-destructive habits. Salvation comes from the Lord. This is salvation, that when we have run as far away as we possibly can from God, fallen completely into sin, God is waiting for us. Waiting to give us undeserved grace. God is waiting for us to come to him, and he is waiting to lavish grace on us. Jonah understood grace, but do we? Do we truly understand God's grace for us today? Not as a theological term with a long definition, not as a concept we give lip service to and never stop to contemplate, but as an everyday reality in our lives. Have we tread the depths of our own souls, come face to face with our brokenness, our sin, our utter destitution apart from God? Because when we know our own fallenness, we can know the depths of God's grace. Do we truly understand God's grace for us today? Amen. In Rock of Ages, there's a verse that goes, "Not the labors of my hands could fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow. Nothing could for sin atone. Thou must save, and thou alone." Jonah realized that God must save, and God alone. So in humble submission, may we too sing these words in Rock of Ages.
Thank you. Let us come together to pray for those in our world. Brexit. The mention of that word switches on the red light for many of us. We know that you do not switch off as we are inclined to do, Lord, but we are so confused. What will happen from April? All we hear is scaremongering, no concrete outlook. Please, Lord, guide the leaders of our government to sit down, discuss sensibly, and give us a clearer picture of our country's future. Help them, Lord, to be more proactive in their deliberations, and in so doing, brush away the negativity and fear tactics that are so prevalent at present. It seems like we're becoming like the town of Nineveh, which Jonah feared entering, even though God instructed him to do so. Meanwhile, hopeful of a better, more settled life, immigrants, refugees continue to pour out of the Middle East, Africa, and Afghanistan into Europe. Be with these people, Lord. May they be treated fairly and achieve contentment in their new countries. And may the terror in their home countries subside so that they can return should they wish to do so. This sad exodus has been going on for so long. It seems like it is becoming less newsworthy. Dear Lord, there are also forgotten people. For example, in Greenland, despite being given devolved government in 1979, only about 40% of the employment population come from the indigenous people. Guide the Danish government to take another look at this problem and give the inhabitants of Greenland purpose and hope of a brighter future. In our local community, there are individuals and families whose lives have been beset with difficulties. Please, Lord, give these people strength, each to see a way forward to a steadier, more fulfilling life. We bring the names of those whom we know are in this plight before you now in silence. We also pray for the family of Gertie Sutherland. Enfold them in your arms, Lord, and bring them through this sad time. In Iran, we pray for Nazarene Radcliffe and hope that her captivity will end soon so that she could return to her young daughter and husband. When you made the world, Lord, you said it was good. Maybe it has lost its endemic quality. Maybe we have ravaged it and stolen from it, but it is still good. May we seek to restore it and protect it. Be with us all in the coming week, Lord. Continue to support us and help us to share your goodness with all whom we meet. We may not achieve a Nineveh effect, but an evolving, strong domino effect could be triggered. Help us to remain positive. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, which we know is constant. We praise and honor you, dear Lord. Amen.
When the world seems like it's falling apart and we grieve for the suffering that occurs, we know that God is in control. And we can sing, "It is well with my soul," in our next song, "When Peace Like a River." I mentioned the BBC's Les Mis. If you want to watch it, it's on tonight at 9 p.m., or you can watch it on Ketchup. But I hope that all of us today have gotten to look at what grace means, what it means to come face to face with our own fallenness, and that God loves us because of and despite of it. May you go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.